KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have fair to partly cloudy skies and 73 degrees. We look for isolated afternoon showers and thunderstorms today and a high around 87. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Well, on Wednesday, U.S. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross announced that the department's Economic Development Administration, or EDA, was awarding $4.2 million in CARES Act recovery assistance grants to 11 EDA Economic Development District organizations across Iowa to update economic development plans and fortify programs to assist communities in responding to the coronavirus pandemic. The investments announced on Wednesday include, in this area, the Region 12 Council of Governments based in Carroll. They'll receive $400,000 in EDA CARES Act Recovery Assistance grants to respond to the coronavirus pandemic by implementing response strategies and fostering community and business recovery and resiliency efforts. Southwest Iowa Planning Council based in Atlantic will also receive $400,000 to respond to the coronavirus pandemic by providing technical assistance to communities and businesses. And the Southern Iowa Council of Governments, or SICOG, based in Creston, will receive just under $400,000 at $390,945 to respond to the coronavirus pandemic as well by taking a multi-level approach towards the recovery of their 8-county service area. SICOG will use the grant to coordinate with local development corporations and chambers of commerce to diversify and expand the region's manufacturing sector, hire additional staff, and help restore the retail and service sectors. Those entities, all EDA-designated economic development districts, are some of the more than 850 existing high-performing EDA economic development district, university center, tribal, and revolving loan fund grant recipients who have been invited to apply for supplemental funding under the Coronavirus Relief and Economic Security, or CARES Act. Well, farmers across much of Iowa are dealing with the heartbreaking aftermath of a rare windstorm that turned what was looking like a record corn crop into deep losses. The storm slammed the Midwest with straight-line winds of up to 100 miles per hour on Monday, gaining strength as it plowed through Iowa fields, flattening corn and bursting grain bins still filled with 10 million of bushels from last year's harvest. Similar damage was reported in Indiana and Illinois. Before the storm, the U.S. Department of Agriculture had forecast a record national corn crop this year, of which Iowa was expected to provide about 18%. More than 250,000 Iowans are still without power nearly 3 days after the windstorm blasted across the state. Alliant Energy spokeswoman Cindy Tomlinson said the situation remains too complex for an accurate estimate of a restoration timeline.
We don't want to overpromise and then underdeliver. We want to make sure that when we provide an estimated time that we can meet that window. It's just going to take a little bit more time for us to identify when services might be restored.
Reports show 257,000 Iowa homes remain without electricity, although at the peak after the Monday severe weather, nearly 500,000 customers were in the dark. Tomlinson said when Alliance Senior Vice President Terry Kuba toured the damage in Marshalltown and Cedar Rapids, he was amazed.
The storm has created damage beyond what he's ever seen before, and he's been with our company several decades, so definitely experienced and beyond what we've ever seen before.
Tomlinson reminds people who are using generators to be sure and shut down the main disconnect to the house. If that is still on, it could result in electricity feeding back down the line and potentially injure a utility worker who's trying to get your power back on. Tomlinson reminds everyone to continue to avoid downed power lines because you never know if maybe a generator may be feeding back into those lines or when the power does come back on. Elsewhere in Southwest Iowa news, a Montgomery County Sheriff's Department K-9 unit was used to track a man who allegedly committed an act of serious assault in Elliott last night. The Sheriff's Department's deputies responded to the serious assault incident in a 200 block of 2nd Street in Elliott around 11:30 p.m. Upon their arrival, they determined 23-year-old Kyle Andrew Nicholson of Surprise, Arizona, assaulted a person several times in the head, causing severe lacerations above the person's eye and around the head. Nicholson also is alleged to have stolen the victim's cell phone during the assault. The K-9 tracked Nicholson to the area of 4th and Linden Streets in Elliott. He was taken into custody without injury and transported to the Montgomery County Jail, where he's been charged with serious assault and theft in the fifth degree. Bond was set at $1,000. Fremont County deputies on Tuesday attempted to stop a vehicle for a traffic violation near mile marker 7 of Interstate 29 southbound. The vehicle failed to yield to law enforcement and continued southbound, stopping at the 1 mile marker just before the Missouri border. Deputies discovered two loaded firearms in the vehicle, as well as marijuana and ecstasy. The driver, 20-year-old D'Angelo Hill of Omaha, was arrested for carrying weapons, felony eluding, possession of a controlled substance for his defense, no insurance, speeding, and no valid driver's license. A passenger in the car, 21-year-old Adonis Williams Jr. of Omaha, was arrested for felon in possession of a firearm, possession of controlled substance, and open container. A third passenger, 21-year-old Alexis Bennett, or Bennett, that is, of Omaha, was arrested for carrying weapons, possession of controlled substance, and open container. The Fremont County K-9 Unit, Iowa State Patrol, Mills County Sheriff's Office, along with Hamburg Fire and Rescue, assisted Fremont County deputies in handling that call. Fremont County Sheriff Kevin Astrup says deputies were advised by the Cass County, Nebraska Sheriff's Office that 49-year-old Scott James McCart of Thurman had been arrested Tuesday on an active Fremont County warrant. McCart was previously arrested in connection with a domestic dispute on February 29th of this year that occurred at his residence. At the time, McCart was arrested for domestic abuse while displaying a weapon and obstructing 911 communications along with child endangerment. McCart was released March 2nd after posting a $5,000 cash or surety bond. But upon further investigation, McCart was subsequently charged with intimidation with a dangerous weapon, child endangerment with bodily injury, and assault while displaying a dangerous weapon. A warrant was issued for his arrest in early March, but he was not located until just the past couple of days. It's alleged that during a domestic dispute, McCart struck a child with his fist, causing injury, and then pointing a firearm at the child. McCart is currently being held on a $17,000 cash or surety bond. Police and Council Bluffs report officers were called to Highway 92 in Valley View Drive for a single-vehicle semi-tractor-trailer rollover accident Wednesday afternoon. The semi-truck was traveling westbound on Highway 92 at around 3:15 p.m. and had attempted to turn northbound onto Valley View Drive. Authorities said it appears the driver took the turn too fast and flipped the truck onto its side, losing its load of grain. The driver suffered minor unknown injuries and was transported to the hospital for treatment. His name was not released. The Cass County Sheriff's Office yesterday said there were two recent arrests and one property damage accident. Authorities say 32-year-old Corey Robert Kyle of Avoca was arrested Wednesday on a Sheriff's Office warrant for theft in the second degree, that's a felony, and felony driving while barred. Kyle was brought to the Cass County Jail and remained held there as on a $7,000 bond. On Tuesday, 41-year-old Sean Glenn Wolverton of Atlantic was arrested on a warrant for parole violation. He was brought to the Cass County Jail and remains held without bond. Sunday morning, just before 9 a.m., Cass County deputies responded to a single-vehicle accident at 670th and Cumberland Street in Cumberland. A 2014 Chevy Silverado owned and driven by 35-year-old Christopher Anderson of Cumberland was traveling northbound on 670th when Anderson lost control. The pickup entered the east ditch, but Anderson was able to move the vehicle back onto the roadway. No injuries were reported. Damage was estimated at $3,000 to his vehicle. Anderson was cited for failure to maintain control. The Union County Sheriff's Office yesterday said a woman from Fontenelle was arrested Tuesday morning in Adams County on a Union County warrant for failure to appear. 21-year-old Tommy Lynn O'Neill was released from the Adams County Jail on her own recognizance. Mills County Sheriff's Office yesterday said 18-year-old Addison Timothy Presley of Glenwood was arrested Tuesday night at the Mills County Sheriff's Office. He was taken into custody on a warrant for OWI first offense, held in the Mills County Jail on $1,000 bond. Police in Harlan yesterday also reported two recent arrests. On Tuesday, 27-year-old Adam Paul Mason was arrested on an active Shelby County warrant. This past Sunday, 34-year-old Brian William Messenger of Harlan was arrested on an active warrant. Both were transported to the Shelby County Jail. There were also two non-injury accidents in Harlan over the past week. The drivers in one of the collisions were identified as Michael Hightoff of Harlan and Joanne Schumann of Avoca. In the other accident, a vehicle driven by Clara Milks Zimmerman of Harlan hit a legally parked car registered to Peyton Schlater of Irwin. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.